Good morning. We're here at Radio Entrepreneurs at the home offices of JED Insurance. I'm here with Jonathan Friedman, my co-host, and Melissa Stacy of Failing Organized. And this is going to be appropriate because today's theme is getting organized. Good morning, Melissa.
Good morning. Thanks for having me.
Good to have you on. Not only are we talking about getting organized, but feeling organized.
Exactly.
Does that bring on a good feeling?
It does. Most people, when they see the name of my company, they say, it's either a good feeling or a bad feeling. They're like, no, I'm not feeling organized. That's usually what I hear. It's all about emotions.
And I would imagine your business applies to everybody, because how many people really feel organized?
Not a lot. I mean, there's very few people who actually will say to me, oh, yeah, I'm really organized and I have, you know, and I hear that, but there's majority of the people are the opposite. There's too much stuff coming in still.
What's the scalability? You're doing smaller companies, larger companies, both?
I'm doing smaller companies typically. Anywhere from one to about 25 to 30 employees is really kind of my sweet spot.
And how do you make them feel organized?
So it's typically setting up, going through the stuff that they don't need anymore and figuring out the things that they do need and then setting up the systems for them that will work really well. And that's the key, is what are the systems that are going to work for you? If we set up a filing system, if, you know, alphabetizing is a good start, but, you know, what are the things that are work so that they're going to be able to maintain it on their own and they don't have to call me back in a year and say, I need your help again.
How many organizations, you know, you talk about a paperless world and you know, that's somewhat of a misnomer. How many organizations that you've worked with are really, truly paperless? Do they exist?
I have yet to come across any that actually are 100% paperless.
We are front-end paperless.
Yes.
So we don't have one file cabinet here.
That's amazing.
Not one. We front-end scan everything.
See, that's amazing. There's an attorney firm that I work with, a client. They completely have gone to moving all of their client files to electronic, but they still have a few paper things that happen for their business stuff. They have their insurance, but they're starting to get that stuff scanned as well. But most people don't have the systems in place to make that work.
We were forced to, but that's a long story.
And I would think that along with the ability to do it is not only, like anything in an organized world, it's not only the setup, but it's the habit.
Exactly.
And a big part of what you must do is forcing people to change habits.
And it's, you know, I try to work with them so that they're not having to completely change gears. They're, you know, all right, how's your brain work? Where are you looking at things? Are you more of a visible person? Can we tuck it in a drawer? So that I'm not changing their patterns completely. We kind of start to blend
that tucking in the drawer is the kiss of death. I find it's like, you know, out of sight, out of mind.
Oh,
you know,
I love it. But that's most people are actually very visual. They need it out. So there's different ways that you can have it out and visually out there for them, but still be organized. There's not paper piles on their desk.
And it's funny when you see the transition of the first employee and the guy's got ladies got everything in their head to the second and third where they need the systems. That's when all havoc breaks loose. So when are you finding the people reaching out to you?
I'm actually finding most people are reaching out to me for the business process procedures. Usually when something has happened that has disrupted their business because all of those systems and processes were in their head. So for instance, you know, the CFO goes out who does, you know, the invoicing for their clients and there's more steps than they thought there was, and now their clients are upset. So it's usually when something has happened, there's a pain point for them that they're calling me for the setting up the processes, getting that information out of their head and onto paper so that somebody else can do their job if something happens to them or if they go on vacation or that sort of thing. Or growth is another one.
So it sounds like a big part of your role is really around process design and process implementation as opposed to the what comes to mind when you talk about organized, which is the physical space and the physical assets.
Yep, I do both, but all around small businesses and home offices. So I love doing the physical space, helping them set up a good filing system so that piling is not their filing system. They can find things. And electronic filing is a big one. You know, even setting up naming conventions that the whole company is using, so it's consistent. But then on top of that, there's the organizing of the thought and the brain. So not just the physical space, but also the thoughts and the things that are all in their head, getting that down on paper in a step-by-step process. So it's out of their head. They can use it as a training manual. So I do a little bit of both, actually. I find that one kind of leads into the other.
And a rhetorical question, I guess, would kind of be, do the people actually ever feel organized, or are they always kind of stretched to think
No, I actually, it's funny you say that because I have a great client that I've been working with for a year, and we started out, she's an attorney, and we organized all of her paperwork and got things really organized in her office. We meet once a quarter and we do a maintenance, and it's just to get her cleaned up and, you know, add files or that sort of thing. She maintains it pretty much on her own now. She feels organized, and she works out of her home, and it's starting to spread in the rest of her house. Like, she called me the other day and she was like, okay, I need help with this because I don't want any more stuff on my counters. So it's,
well,
it
starts created to, OCD.
I did.
Well, but it's
the opposite.
It's interesting because I go through a little bit of that in the interest of full disclosure in my personal life and spouses. You know, sometimes you have the challenge where one person is fastidious about making sure that there's not mail piling up, and another spouse might let mail pile up. And I think one of the challenges, you can set up the systems, but again, as go back to the behavioral change and making sure that you are continuing, because I don't know about your house, John, but if you don't touch mail in my house for 3 days, it's like you need another room. Yeah, you know, and it's amazing the volume of things that come.
It can take over your kitchen counter.
Yeah, and it really takes no time. Yeah. And so it seems to me that changing that habit and making sure that people are highly disciplined around the system that you put in place is key.
It is. And that there's an accountability side of that. You know, there's a lot of clients that I still work with over time where we'll do a check-in call, even just a phone call. How are things going? What are the challenges that you're having around it? And getting them so that they're accountable, they're having a conversation with me or meeting on the maintenance appointments, you know, just at once a quarter. And it's so small when you're doing it. It takes an hour to maintain it in 3 months than it used to take hours to get it. So there is the accountability side of it, because you have to create a habit, and that's not an easy thing to do necessarily.
And what about on the other end? So the startup could definitely use you early on to hit their max quicker. But what about people getting out? Do you ever get those reaching out for due diligence purposes? Hey, you know, Melissa, I'm thinking of selling. I've got a catastrophe over here. Help.
Yes. I actually have quite a few people who contact me.
Jonathan probably has seen that.
And it's
I've seen companies that have records dating back to the 50s and 60s.
It's amazing, isn't it? It's like, you really don't need this.
Purge.
And some of it, you know, sometimes in a family business, it's
family
legacy
businesses.
And it's sort of holding on to something that, you know, my dad or my grandfather created, and, you know, it can be a challenge for
some
them.
Some of it's, you know, it's historical data, but you don't have to keep every piece of historical data just for the company.
Right.
But, yes,
set up a museum if you want historical data.
Exactly. You don't need it. The glass cases for this stuff. So, the transition is definitely, I mean, you go through and you figure out what are the things they don't need anymore. I actually had a client, we did a manual for her, and the value of her business as she's selling her business now has gone up and increased. And the great thing about it is she doesn't have to actually stay on with the new owner. You know, typically an owner will stay on for
a year, three to five,
to help with that transition. She's staying on for 6 months.
Yeah, because
she has the manual.
Organized. She got the business processes down.
She does. She handed
paint by numbers at this point.
Over a how-to of how she's been successful to the new owner.
Wonderful.
So one of the things that I always find, because we deal with a lot of startups and try to help them, you know, with their risk management and operation.
Right.
Do you find when you go in that, even to the person, the answer on the phone, to the billing person, that there's no systems that they could recognize early on, and just it would be so much easier.
I find that most people are reinventing the wheel every single day on a lot of different things.
Born new syndrome.
And so it's confusing because nobody knows what's the right way to do it. And so it's important to meet with the owner of the company because that's who you want. You want those systems to trickle down from that area.
Actually, as a follow-up to John's
question, most people don't have systems.
Well, it's interesting because it would seem to me that if you're looking at it holistically at an organization, you're talking to the owner, they may have one piece of the system, but the other employees, and it seems to me often in, we'll call it the finance administration area, because that tends to be a lot of paperwork associated with things. And are you often engaging with an owner and then working with those people as well?
Yes. Usually it starts with the owner, and then I meet with the team and we start talking about things because, of course, there's each categories. You have the person who's at the front answering the phones, and you have somebody who's doing the filing. You have somebody who's inputting the information into their database or whatever. And so it's figuring out what are the best systems, what is going to streamline your business so you're working more efficiently and that everybody's doing the same thing the same way every single time.
And what about phone calls? So that's always an interest. Well, responding to emails and phone calls, it's information overload now, but you got to have protocol and a system for that.
Absolutely. I mean, even just leaving a voicemail for somebody how is it that, you know, some younger people may be like, hey, this is so-and-so, and it's not quite the right appropriate thing to do for that particular client, you know? So even having templates that we set up for emails that you send out, or
the dreaded
voicemails.
Hey.
Exactly. Hey, what's up? And it's like, that's probably not the best way to open up with a new client. So, yeah, putting templates together for those sort of things as well.
You work mostly on referral, or people calling you cold, or how do they get?
Most people, it's almost everything is referral for me.
Really?
Somebody's worked with me, knows me, or has heard somebody that's worked with me, because I'm in your stuff. I'm in deep with you. So people want to know that they can at least, one, get along with me.
Some level of trust.
And then I'm not going to be judging discretion. Them for, yeah, for whatever their paperwork
that
is.
That file has what?
I don't even know what that is. I just miscellaneous file everything.
The dreaded miscellaneous.
Exactly.
So it's interesting that you talk about process, and it seems to me that also, utilizing efficiency is another aspect of what you do, and you know, if somebody's touching something or an aspect of a file multiple times a day, why are they walking to the other end of the office to file it?
Every time.
And so, you know, space utilization and efficiency within that seems to be a key element as well.
It's huge, yeah. Why would you have a filing cabinet, you know, two offices away when you're needing to grab it? What are the things that you need all the time? Have those things closest to you. It's kind of like, you know, a kitchen. Whatever's closest to the stove should be cooked on the stove.
Isn't that logical for everybody? But most people, yeah, it clearly isn't. I don't know if it's a left brain, right brain thing or what, but it's
when I started my business 11 years ago, I thought those things that you're like, well, that is common sense. No, it's
how
not.
How did you get into this?
I was, it's a long haul.
On the West Coast.
I was on the West Coast, yeah. Yep. I was in nonprofit for a while. I did a lot of auditing, and then I was in recruiting and training for a while, but I've always been organized and loved it, and started doing it on the side for friends and family, and then realized I could make a career at it, and I loved it. Hmm. So I started taking workshops through the National Association of Professional Organizers. And
oh, there's a whole.
There's a whole bunch of us out here.
There's a method to the madness.
It's great.
I would imagine there's a lot of discombobulated entrepreneurs, and a lot
it's
of them
hard.
Are good at what they do.
That's the
they
thing.
They sell their product, they market, they create apps, but they don't everything else. And that's what you deal with. I mean,
yeah. And I would imagine, I think every generation brings its next set of challenges in the digital age. I would imagine that it's not unusual. I don't know if you work with people on organizing their digital lives.
Absolutely.
And you talk about file structure, but email.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, how many people have 20,000 plus messages in their inbox, and it's a function. Oh, good. So I don't feel that bad. Anybody over 30? Anybody over 40?
I've seen a lot.
Yeah, but I think it's a function of if you've been doing it for a long time, it accumulates.
Exactly.
And I think the big question, and back to that habit change, is how do you maintain? And
right.
That, you know, because it's like I said, you know, you go away for 3 days and you decide, okay, I'm going to shut down. I'm not going to check email. You come back and you got 4,700 emails that you haven't touched.
I know.
I don't have the time to go through those.
No.
So it's either delete them all or they sit in the inbox, you know, and it's.
I always tell people bite-sized chunks are a really good way of doing things. Do things in like 15 or 20-minute increments so that you're not going through 2,000 emails all at once. You're breaking it down so it doesn't feel so overwhelming. And it's like, oh, I can do this for 15 minutes. You know, I can organize for 15 minutes. I can go through a stack of paperwork for 15 minutes. I can check my email for 15 minutes rather than trying to do it all at once, because if I think I'm going to be somewhere doing something for 2 hours, I'm like, yeah, I'm just going to go ahead and give up on that now.
Well, the other thing, along with getting organized, is shutting down sometimes.
Yes.
People don't have mindful time anymore.
Are you allowed doing that? When?
Yeah. No, but I mean,
it's a great point.
It's overwhelming.
Yeah.
I mean, it's, you know, there's people that want responses at 10 at night. It's like, you know,
right.
After
there's
a certain
no boundaries.
Point,
right.
You have to shut down, or you create an expectation that you.
That's what you right. You got to set that boundary and expectation ahead of time.
Well, I think that's one of the challenges with technology is everybody's used to instant gratification now, and the reality is if I'm with you, I can't be with somebody else.
Right. Exactly.
So, you know, and I think that's something that you probably teach your clients to be present, be in the moment.
That's a hard thing to teach because, you know, we have our phones and it's just, and you don't even, most people don't even realize that they're looking at how many times they look at their phone a day.
Yeah.
You know, and people look down at their phone just to look at the time, and they didn't even see what time it was because they got distracted by an email or something on Instagram or something else.
Do yourself a favor and turn off your notifications.
Well, I think we're begetting, and not to get into it, but a whole generation of ADD, forced ADD, where it's like, you know, everything is coming at you constantly.
And that's the problem. I think that's why people get so overwhelmed and become disorganized, because there's the paper that's coming in, there's the information on your phone, there's so much information now with the internet and everything else. I mean, I have clients who will read articles and they'll, this is my favorite, they'll print them, save them. So they've got them paper and electronic. So now they have piles of paperwork and they have piles of electronic documents
And they
well.
Never get to them anyway.
And they never get to them because who has time to
because
read
they're
that much information?
They're reading their Facebook feed.
Exactly. Because they're on Instagram. So it's overwhelming.
Stuff.
It's a lot of information.
Yeah.
It's a lot of information.
So interesting. Feeling organized and actually being organized may be two separate things, but
exactly.
You're on a quest to make sure that people are moving towards that
At
path.
Least that they're feeling more organized, because my idea of being organized is very different than what yours
right.
is probably for being organized. So as long as my client is feeling organized in their own way, I'm happy with that.
Mm-hmm. Good stuff. Our guest on Radio Entrepreneurs has been Melissa Stacey of Feeling Organized, and we're coming to you from the offices of JDED Insurance, and we're all about getting people organized today. So, Melissa, it's been a great pleasure having you on. And
thank you so much.
Great.
Imparting
your
wisdom upon our guests. And if people want to get in touch with you, what's the best way for them to reach you?
My website is feelingorganized.com, and you can also reach me at 781. Oh my gosh, I just completely blanked. 390. I'm like, nope, I just totally forgot.
Information
my phone
overload.
Wow, that is tells you. How about email me, melissa@feelingorganized.com?
Wonderful stuff.
Thank
and we'll
you
be,
for having me.
We'll be right back with another segment on Radio Entrepreneurs.